gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere, another jam-packed celebrity hotline. Jennifer Palmieri, one of our personal favorites from the Center for American Progress, to talk about the state of the healthcare debate. Reverend Jim Wallace on the celebrity hotline next hour. He's the official minister of the Stephanie Miller
Show. He certainly is.
Representative Eric Massa, Democrat of the great state of New York, next hour as well. And in hour number three, comedian Hal Sparks, live in the studio.
Live
for all of hour number three. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. Okay.
Yes, and tomorrow in hour three, we're going to have the rude pundit, Lee Papa, live in studio with you.
Yes.
In New York.
Mama is going to New York today. I will be live.
Live.
From New York.
Live.
Thursday and Friday of this week. And I will be on the Ed Schultz Show on MSNBC. Live.
Live.
In the studio with him.
I'm not an actor.
And then I'll be having
a television star.
Then I'll be having dinner live with Ed and Wendy after the show on Thursday. Won't that be fun?
Oh.
All right.
Oh, that's nice.
And I'll be trying to, you know, do the normal stuff I do, like lick the back of Keith Olbermann's chair. Or
whatever.
Stalk Rachel Maddow and whatever else I can accomplish in MSNBC. All right.
Is Dan Abrams still there?
I don't know. I think so.
Because you really went after him last time we were there.
He'll be hiding if he is there.
Yes, he will.
All right. Part 14 of trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube on the public option. Kathleen Sebelius, Health and Human Services Secretary, yesterday.
All I can tell you is that Sunday must have been a very slow news day. Because here's the bottom line. Absolutely nothing has changed.
Okay. You know, Alex Castellanos, we've had him on the show for me to bat him around like a right-wing cat toy.
Yes.
However, I hate when I agree with right-wing tools.
Right now, Obama's coming across as someone who wants to please everyone but fight for nothing. And interestingly enough, if that's the case, he may end up, the man who tried to be like both Clinton and George Bush may end up being like them in the sense that he makes himself look weaker and smaller and loses respect, I think, to some degree, like President Clinton did at times. But also he alienates his own base, who would lose his enthusiasm for him, like President Bush did, while also antagonizing the middle. So he's caught right now defending everything and pleasing no one.
There you go, the joys of bipartisanship. Isn't it magical so far? All right. Meanwhile, hey. the new poll numbers, You just, I still refuse to believe that the right-wing liars are going to win this debate. Barney Frank, did you see this on the YouTubes?
Oh, this is awesome.
This is what we need, is more fighters like Barney Frank, because you're going to let the people win that are making Nazi analogy and just yelling lies at town hall meetings?
Why do you continue to support a Nazi policy, as Obama has expressly supported this policy? Why are you supporting it?
When you ask me that question, I am going to revert to my ethnic heritage and answer your question with a question. On what planet do you spend most of your time? Do you want me to answer the question? Yes. As you stand there with a picture of the president, the face to look like Hitler, and compare the effort to increase health care to the Nazis, my answer to you is, as I said before, it is a tribute to the First Amendment that this kind of vile, contemptible nonsense is so freely propagated. Man, trying to have a conversation with you would be like trying to argue with a dining room table. I have no interest in doing it.
Yeah. We've argued with a few dining room tables in our time.
It's a Nazi policy. How can you support it? It's a Nazi policy.
We'll get to the latest.
I saw it on TV. It's a Nazi policy.
We'll get to the latest polls, but it really is stunning. But maybe not, Jim. We used to talk about this all the time, that you look at a large percentage of Fox viewers believe that Saddam was behind 9/11, believe that they found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Because you look at these polls, you're like, they're believing the right-wing lies? And a lot of it is like,
people have been brainwashed for years by television.
Okay.
By television, I mean Fox News.
Yeah.
I mean, they get their political ideas from 24,
and Sean Hannity.
Yeah. All right. You know what? I'm fine losing an issue on the backs. Like, you go, okay, this isn't the right way to do this, but okay.
Okay, black man, supposedly liberal, although he seems less so day by day, is also a Nazi?
Yeah, makes no sense.
Have you studied history at all? Have you ever opened a book?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what you're talking about?
It's like the rude pundit had that picture of the Obama in the middle of, you know, Hitler and a bunch of Nazis who all seemed thrilled to see.
Yeah.
He said, thrilled to be in the company of a black man,
sure.
As Nazis would.
Like they were with Jesse Owens when Hitler refused to shake his hands.
Exactly.
Shake his hand.
Oh, boy.
What the hell?
All right.
What a bunch of morons.
Eric writes, hey, Steph, radio talk show host Roland Martin was on Campbell Brown Monday night, and you weren't. It's bros before hoes in CNN punditry.
He is not a talk show host anymore.
Is that what you got to do? You got to get rid of your radio show.
He gave up his radio show in order to become a political contributor to the Tom Joyner show. So he doesn't have his own radio show anymore.
Hmm.
All right. Eric just sent that to just...
Okay. But Eric was wrong.
Hmm. All right. Did I announce, by the way, I will not be on the Campbell Brown show this Thursday and Friday from New York on CNN as was planned. Because
I was hoping to see you on Campbell Brown.
Hmm. Now you'll have to settle for me on Ed Schultz.
Oh,
kind of a disappointment for you and Wendy.
Yes.
All right, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, President Obama has finally put his stamp on a token gift treasured by travelers of the presidential 747, boxes of M&Ms. Well, at least we got that done. We don't have real health care reform yet, but...
But we have M&Ms.
7 months after Obama took office, the small boxes bearing the signature of the 44th president made their debut this weekend. The patriotic individual-sized boxes containing red, white, and blue peanut M&Ms.
Oh, at least they're peanut. Those are the good ones.
Were handed out on the plane.
They got protein, at least.
Yes.
On Saturday. What do we have? I'm sorry.
Somebody made a movie about it.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
For more than a year, ominous rumors have been privately circulating among high-level Western leaders about several small autographed boxes of red, white, and blue peanut M&Ms, allegedly designed for distribution to guests aboard Air Force One. For what devious purpose, no one could say. Mandrake.
Yes, sir?
I've just ordered the base to be put on condition red.
Condition red, yes, sir. Jolly good idea. Keeps the man on our toes.
This is not an exercise.
Not an exercise, sir.
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids. Have you heard of a thing called fluoridation?
Yes, I have heard of that, yes, sir.
Do you realize that fluoridation as part of a government-mandated single-payer national health plan is the most monstrously conceived and dangerous commie plot we've ever faced? Do you realize their plans to fluoridate soup, fruit juices, even M&Ms? M&Ms, Mandrake, children's M&Ms, to be distributed aboard Air Force One in boxes signed by that commie Muslim presidential imposter who won't produce his birth certificate as part of his plot to indoctrinate America's youth while simultaneously murdering their grandparents with his death panels? It's incredibly obvious, isn't it? Good Lord. Will President Obama's evil plan succeed? Or will his dastardly plot be foiled by Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, and sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads? Find out next on Fox and Friends.
This just in, Oily Taint said they're not red, white, and blue M&Ms. They're all black.
Oh.
And they're from Kenya.
Oh.
Let me finish. Let me finish. You can't, but also, too, I'll get it back to you.
Did you read the whole Salon piece on her? Oh, my God.
She's 10 times crazy.
They just let her talk and talk and talk
yeah.
and talk. And
oh,
then she
great.
Just, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
The president
God.
Rubbed out his gay lovers. And
yes.
Oh, dear God. She believes in every, she could have been the woman for you, Jim. She believes in every conspiracy
no,
ever.
No, I don't believe in every conspiracy ever. Shut up.
Saying,
I don't do conspiracy corner anymore.
She just keeps going on and on and on about everything. She has a Hugo Chavez. You can ask her anything, and she has some sort of a...
thing.
Oh, there's something about the inner... Oh, there's a Google conspiracy against her.
Oh, there is?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Google, known for their conspiracies against...
Yes.
Moldovan dentist actresses.
Exactly.
Lawyers.
That's a well-known fact.
Yes, well.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Correspondence course lawyers.
Have I ever mentioned I love L.A., where we do the show from here? I love L.A. Why? We get free money on the freeway.
Yay! I love L.A.
I love it.
Because
California authorities say a man caused a traffic jam. Oh, because traffic normally would move so expeditiously here in Los Angeles. But he caused a traffic jam when he threw money onto a Los Angeles area freeway and people dashed into the lanes to grab the cash.
Wow.
The 210? Who would have thought of going to the 210? See, I would have guessed the 405.
I take the 210 all the time.
In the fancy part of town. The 210, about 10 people ran into traffic lanes to get it, and you know what that means. It's a game show with Ella.
Hello, and welcome to What Would You Do for $1,000? Our first contestant is Melvin Spork, who was recently laid off just days before his retirement. His house is in foreclosure, his car has been repossessed, and his wife of 30 years just left him for a zygote. Melvin Spork, what would you do for $1,000? Would you cover yourself in chum and jump into a shark tank? Would you swallow broken glass? Would you run across four lanes of a busy L.A. freeway to retrieve $100 bills dropped from an overpass? Ding, 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 ding. Yes, he would. All right, Melvin. The bag of cash has been emptied onto the 210 freeway. Go. Oh, he's got $100, $200, $500, $1,000.
I'm rich. I can actually pay my health insurance premium. Praise the Lord.
Oh, sorry, Melvin. The good news is you're $1,000 richer. The bad news is you're now a nasty stain in the center lanes of the 210. New end-of-life counseling for you. Better luck next time on What Would You Do for $1,000?
All for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward's Bald Roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. There's a title ad at stephaniemiller.com. Go there, buy the album. Thank you.
That's my favorite sound effect that Jim does with his mouth. Many years ago, here's a fun fact. Jim Ward and I were crossing PCH.
Yeah.
There was drinking involved. There was drinking involved. And Jim did a very funny sound effect of us being hit by multiple cars that I found hilarious.
See, that's but two sets weren't. Of wheels going.
Yes. Right. Got thump, it. Thump. Okay.
Thump, thump, thump.
Us being hit by multiple cars like rag dolls, and we laughed and laughed in our drunken stupor.
While you were going to eat raw fish. Yes.
Yes.
We were running across PCH to eat raw fish.
Oh, those were the days. Yeah. Those were the days. You know what? Let me just say, Ben Bree not as quick on foot as we were.
Oh.
I kid. You know the old joke. How do you get to Malibu? You go out PCH till you hit Ben Breen and turn left. Oh, come on. He was fine. He survived it. And it's been time since then.
And Mel Gibson blames the Jews.
Yes.
Exactly. All right.
You're lucky Mel Gibson didn't call you sugar bits.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, huh? Paula Abdul news? Huh? Idle news? What? We'll tell you the latest on that. Back to healthcare and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh. That was kind of cool.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Hey, yo, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The breaking news this morning, Jim, from the Department of No Sherlock. Democrats see little chance for GOP cooperation on health care.
Huh.
According to the...
Wow.
Newspapers. They've just, it's just occurred it's just to them that apparently them. They yeah. are not going to hold the football in place whilst we kick it. A moment too soon, God. Perhaps. Yeah. We just realized so that maybe they're not negotiating in
hey.
Good faith.
Huh? I thought they were all for bipartisanship. Huh. That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? Yeah. That Chuck Grassley seemed like such a nice feller.
Okay. That is some pretty big news, though, this morning.
It's like the you realize this, that the serial killers in the United States, they always live next to the stupidest people on Earth.
Yeah.
He seemed like a nice feller.
He sure did.
Kept to himself.
Where was that weird smell coming from his basement, but I didn't think nothing of it.
He exposed himself to me, but I thought he was just being friendly. He's taking out, waving at me, but I don't.
I saw people walking in there who would never come out, but I didn't think nothing of it.
Kind of quiet. feller, but a nice guy.
Those neighbors always tend to not wear shirts, too.
Oh.
And drink Schlitz.
All right. You know, that seems... So we are really going to get some hate mail now from Schlitz drinkers. All right.
Both of them. Yeah. Well,
Where's my American Idol sting? Paula Abdul negotiating a return to Idol. Now that the Dancing with the Stars cast has been announced, along with well-known hoofer Tom DeLay, and Paula Abdul's name is not on the list of judges, negotiations between Abdul and Fox for her return to Idol have become more intense, it's being rumored.
Hmm.
Paula isn't lowering her price in any meaningful way. She still wants a Seacrest-level deal.
Hmm.
Well, so do I.
But you have to work 24/7
yeah,
for a Seacrest.
Yeah, and I don't think Paula is... capable of
no,
working 24/7.
She likes to drink more than I do.
Yeah.
As far as ABC allegedly is concerned, executives are disappointed they couldn't sign Abdul to Dancing with the Stars. They actually needed her as that big name, said one person close to the talks. They didn't really want Tom DeLay as their most buzzed about contestant.
God. Speaking of buzzed.
Yeah. My dance partner,
senior citizen, Kay Bailey Hutchinson, the senior senator from Texas.
Wow. Dancing drunk on tiny feet. That'll be his
that'll be his specialty. Omarosa, you know, the apprentice biatch?
Yes.
She has joined the seminary. She's going to United Theological Seminary in Dayton to become a minister.
Uh-huh.
That's funny!
Does someone smell PR stunt in here?
Yeah.
And speaking of reality hoes, Survivor winner Richard Hatch
yes
says he believes he was sent to prison because he's gay.
Oh.
Or prosecutors say it's because he's a gay that didn't pay his taxes.
But, yeah.
All right. And I hate you and I hate your ass face.
Yes. And he said the prosecutors are bastard
people. And
I'll
tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
All right.
He very publicly won all that money on TV.
Yeah.
And thought the IRS wouldn't notice.
Can I have some comedy music, please, for our friends at delisted.com?
Okay.
Our purveyors of celebrity snark that we love. Far-right loon actress Patricia Heaton sucks at math. Are you smarter than Patricia Heaton, writes Delisted. Patricia Heaton is more annoying than a wart on the peen pole.
Oh,
so dude. Let's all point and laugh at her stupid ass while watching the clip of her appearance on Last Night Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Patty was on the show to win $50,000 for her charity, the Patricia Heaton Needs a Brain Fund. All she had to do was answer one simple question. Even that was too hard for her. Now, Patty started being annoying right at the beginning by saying people in middle America are nicer and smarter than the rest of the country. Then came the question, a euro is worth $1.50, 5 euros is worth what? 30 quarters, 50 dimes, 70 nickels, or 90 pennies? Patricia said she wasn't good at math because she went to Ohio State. Yes, that's Patricia being nicer than all of us.
Oh,
then
God.
She asked to use one of her lifelines, and that failed. She was all ready to throw in the towel. Even my stupid ass knew the answer right away. That's saying a lot about Patricia because I have the math skills of a plastic ficus tree. Patricia Heaton.
I don't know that I would know the answer to that.
Oh, that's easy.
It's $7.50, so how would you... Anyway.
Okay. 28.
Yeah, none of us got the answer.
Mm. 28 minutes after the hour, Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress on what's next in healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's my liberal, hippy-dippy mama.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello,
hey,
Dave.
Hey, Mama. See, just seeing that woman earlier screaming about the reference to Hitler and all that. There are so many people in this country who must feel so absolutely powerless that they'll join with any kind of crazy group who screams the loudest.
Yep.
It's quite remarkable. And the other thing I want to say is Barney Frank is an openly gay man, and he has nothing to hide. He is as honest and open as anything. And maybe that's what some of these Democratic representatives and senators need to take heed to. If you're an open book, you have nothing to hide, you are what you are, then you can say what you need to say unabashedly and unashamedly.
Mm-hmm,
That's exactly what
I wish he started singing I Am What I Am from La Cage aux Folles during the town hall. I think we need a little more entertainment value.
And maybe a little tap dance.
Something.
Oh, And one last thing. Did you notice that Rupert Murdoch and Grassley from Iowa seem to look an awful lot alike? Maybe they're the same person.
Have you ever seen them in the same room at the same time?
Okay.
Casual fall, by the way. But, yeah, minor.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
My pronunciation was Les Miserables.
It was faux. It was what it was.
It was faux.
All right. I'm going to see Broadway shows in New York, by the way.
I thought you were going there to work.
I am. But I'm going to see Avenue Q and I don't know what else. Something else. All right.
So you're getting the company to pay for it, yet you're going there for pleasure.
No, I'm not getting the company to pay for it.
Uh-huh. I wish I had that power.
All right. You have health care. Shut up. All right.
So do you.
All right. So, boy, the bad news. This new NBC poll. Oh, dear God. Mm-hmm.
It's working.
Yeah, the liar's working. So, yeah, see, normally I yell at you for being droopy. And this time, unfortunately, you're right. It's working so far, but that doesn't mean it's going to work. I
still
have, my American president dream. Because right now, they're listening to anyone that steps up to a microphone.
People want leadership, that's Mr. Right. President. In the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. They want leadership. They're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
They drink the sand because they don't know the difference.
They drink the sand because they like sand.
You never know.
Yeah. But anyway, this is what happens in American presidents. So Michael Douglas, and he has all these little halfway kind of bills that he's trying to get done because of political considerations like co-ops and
whatever.
And then he finally, in the final scene, he comes and... And then the president says, screw all of you, I'm going for single payer. And then he gets to sleep with Annette Bening. And
then you woke up.
And then I woke up. And then the movie ended.
Unfortunately, this deal they're working on will more likely be co-op rather than single payer.
Oh, I saw, Joe Klein explaining to Ed Schultz how... that's the thing. At this point, it's getting to be so. He swore public option is not the most important part of this. Like the president has said, that he thinks the exchanges are what's going to cause, competition or
whatever.
Anyway, 2 weeks since the raucous town hall meetings on health care became a national story, Americans remain skeptical about White House plans to overhaul the nation's health system. According to a new NBC News poll, a plurality believes Obama's health plan would worsen the quality of health care. Oh, dear God. A result virtually unchanged from last month's NBC Wall Street Journal poll. What's more, only 4 in 10 approve of the president's handling of the issue. A majority, 54%, is more concerned that the government will go too far in reforming the nation's health care system, while 41% more worried that the reform will not do enough to lower costs and cover the uninsured.
I wonder how those questions were asked, because Frank Luntz was on Sean Hannity last night, and he made a really good point. I want to play this for you.
You're calling it a public option, which is what the White House calls it. Are you sure it isn't a government option? It's sponsored by the government. It's paid for by the government. It's one of the most important points in this entire debate. If you call it a public option, the American people are split. If you call it the government option, the public is overwhelmingly against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly...
that's how you do it.
Right.
You change the question.
Right. But that's what I was thinking, is a public option. And there are two parts of that word. It is an option.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. When this debate started, the polls were 70% were for a public option, because you're going, would you like an option to your private insurer?
Yeah, but the key
who
word...
charges you an arm and a leg and can drop you at any time?
The key word is government, though. People are still brainwashed by Reagan's,
the enemy is the government. I'm part of the government, but don't let that dissuade you.
Yeah.
You'll be confused by
one of the reasons why it has become tougher, the health care fight, due to misperceptions about the president's plan for reform. Majorities in the poll believe the plans would give health insurance to illegal immigrants, would lead to a government takeover of the health system, would use taxpayer dollars to pay for women to have abortions, all claims that nonpartisan fact checkers say are untrue about the legislation that has emerged so far from Congress.
But it's out there.
This is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Why you look at the huge percentages that thought Saddam was behind 9/11, that thought they found weapons in Iraq.
Some people still believe it.
Yeah. 45% think the reform proposals would allow the government to make decisions about when to stop providing medical care for the elderly. That also untrue. Just if you're keeping track, the provision would simply allow Medicare to pay doctors for end-of-life counseling if the patient chooses. So essentially all these right-wing lies that have been put out there, according to at least this poll, people believe them.
Right. So you have to get out in front of it and shoot those down immediately. They didn't do that.
Yeah.
They thought, the American people won't be
this
fooled
is what
by
we...
that. Yes, they will. They always fall for that crap.
Exactly. John Kerry. That was right. Mm-hmm. That's like become, you know, a sort of common wisdom now that he thought, I don't need to respond to these. These are provably liars, these swift boat guys. They weren't even on, you know, his boat or whatever. And
same thing with Dukakis.
Yeah. You're like, okay, I don't have to respond to that. Well, I guess you did. Obama's approval rating is 51%, a two-point drop from last month. 41% approve of his handling of health care. By comparison, 47% disapprove. Just 36% believe that Obama's efforts to reform the health care system are a good idea. Only 24% think they will result in better quality of care. But if the country is cautious about Obama's health plans, doesn't seem to trust the Republican Party at all on the subject. Just 21% approve of the Republicans' handling of health care versus 62% who disapprove.
Which doesn't help us at all.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a plan, so.
Yeah, exactly. But you're right. It's like, how do you win with this kind of negativity? But they're doing exactly what they're saying, Jim. They're trying to just make this his Waterloo, just break him, just scare people enough that they don't, you know, I think they get that the GOP is being negative and they don't have a plan of their own, but they've scared people enough about the president's plan right now.
And Warren Buffett just came out today saying that we've got to rein in spending now or we're heading for, you know, a major crash. And Wall Street followed suit by.
So, a combined 60% of respondents say the system needs either a complete overhaul or major reform. So that's the problem. A lot of things people want, the president is doing, and this plan is what they want. It's just that they've bought – that's why this poll is so infuriating, but they've bought the right-wing lies about it is essentially what's happened.
They always
do.
And you were yelling at me for saying that it was working.
Shut up. 36% believe Obama's efforts to reform the healthcare system are a good idea, but that number increases to 53% when respondents were read a paragraph describing Obama's plan. That's what I was saying. Like, when they describe the plan, people go, yes, 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 yes.
Computer says yes.
And then they go, but do you want Obama's plan?
Computer says no.
But that is his plan.
Right.
Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. In addition, 43% believe the protests have done more harm than good versus a nearly identical 42% who say they've done more good than harm. So, you know, again, believing the right-wing lies about the right-wing liars that have been sent to these to disrupt these town hall meetings. Mm-hmm. That they're just, you know, regular Americans and blah, blah.
Stay-at-home moms and grandmas
they're
and
just
veterans.
That's an elderly... Ironically, both on government health plans.
Right.
43% say they favor a public option, 47% who oppose it. But I think it's exactly what Jim said, that they have succeeded in making it. Ooh, it's a government option. It's a government running your life. And it's...
Kate, most frightening words in the English language. I'm here from the government, and I'm here to help. I think that's more than 8 words, but I think you get my point.
Frank.
And you will continue to get my point long after I'm dead.
Huh.
There I go again.
Frank Luntz is a very smart person. I just wish he worked for our side.
Yes.
Did you see the...
We need more PSYOPs people on
yes,
our
we
side.
Do.
Did you see the old Reagan ads that were playing with the same fear-mongering points but about Medicare?
Yeah.
Well, one day, if this passes, we'll look back and say we remember when men were free. Instead of working in gulags for their one piece of moldy bread... Because
oh boy!
Some
okay.
communist Negro president decided we needed to have national health care.
Oh boy!
There they go again.
40
welfare queens in their Cadillacs.
You voted for the guy.
Yeah.
Don't blame me. 43. Like I was the only one. 43 minutes after the hour.
Peer pressure made you do it, right?
Mm-hmm. 43 minutes after the hour. Are we locating Jennifer Palmieri from the...
She's stuck on the D.C. Metro.
Oh, that's like a song. We'll see if we can find her next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa! Awesome! Totally awesome! All right!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust the move.
shout out to our Phoenix affiliate?
Yes.
The Young MC lives in Phoenix.
And he's a fan of the Stephanie Miller newscast.
Sup, Young. He's the official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right.
48 minutes after the hour.
The official early 90s rapper.
Yeah, just not.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Nothing gangster.
Is there
about
any
it.
Other kind? 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, if only somebody that knows something about something could chime in with something that would help me on this healthcare debate. Why? Who is it, Jim?
From the Center for American Progress, it's Jennifer Palmieri.
Why? Fresh from the metro.
You're from our nation's finest metro.
Yes.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning. I'm so sorry that I was late, you all.
That is all right. Listen, like healthcare reform, I will take it better late than never. What are your thoughts this morning on where we stand?
I think there are splits. My positive, I actually am positive. I mean, I do feel like we're going to get a bill. It'll probably be stronger than it would have been with Republicans. But there's more clarity, I would say, today. And that I think that, you know, it certainly appears from what Rahm was saying in the New York Times this morning that even the White House is prepared to recognize that the Republicans, that there's not any, that there's no chance of getting a bipartisan deal. And
yes, as we call it, news from the Department of No Sherlock. Yeah, this apparently just occurred to them that Chuck Grassley was never going to play ball. I mean, you've got, you know, look, Chuck Grassley is the one that, you know, he's out telling, you know, the lies about the death panels that people are believing. Then he says, oh, you know, if I can't, I'm not interested in any compromise that draws only three or more Senate votes. John Kyle says, you know, even if the bill doesn't increase the federal deficit, it doesn't mean Republicans will support it. They're saying, oh, not even co-ops, we wouldn't support that. Why did we ever think they were interested in working on anything with us?
And I think that it's helpful that I have a colleague that refers to Chuck Grassley as Grandpa Twitter, which I thought is something you would appreciate.
Yes.
I think it helps that there was so much press focused on Grassley last week, and you could see that, you know, the man who read Glenn Beck's book twice because once wasn't enough and brings it to do his town hall meetings is not going to be the guy who cuts the deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that I think Grassley is mercurial. He does have a good relationship with Baucus, so I could see why Baucus, who obviously having a bipartisan deal is a huge premium for him. I could see why.
See, I thought the cranky old grandpa with the anger management problem, Senator, was filled by John McCain. Are they allowed to have two?
I would count at least three, because they'd say John Kyle is right up there as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
So I could see why they felt the need to, I think they, you know, they wanted to do this the way they had handled the stimulus debate, which was reach out to the Republicans and so that if they do walk away, at least it's clear that Obama and the Democrats tried. And I feel like that storyline has been more than developed, and that will be the takeaway. But it doesn't mean that, obviously, there's still a lot of negotiating to be done, because a lot of these conservative Democratic senators are not that far away. If the Republican senators were sincere in what they could actually agree to, I don't think they'd be that far off from where Kent Conrad, say, is. So in the end, you know, I'm not sure how different if the bill would actually be that different.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, this is what we've been saying all along, is expressing hope that the president was playing chess and we were all playing checkers, and this is the plan politically, was to make it look like they tried as long as they could to negotiate with.
Yeah, but I mean, sure that he's a Jedi warrior, right?
I guess, Jen. But you know, obviously this new polling is not good. It just, you know, unfortunately is showing that a lot of these right-wing lies about the health care reform, people are believing. And you know, so that's what I'm wondering is, you know, is it too late? Do you think that the president has handled this well politically?
I don't, you know, it reminds me of last summer when right about this time Sarah Palin first came on the scene and you saw independents start to break McCain's way and everybody was freaking out that Obama would let the attack from that side go on too long. And, you know, he's very good at taking the heat out of an argument. He's very good at directly, you know, when he wants to directly confront attacks, they're very good at it. So I think I thought he was terrific on Thursday and Friday and Saturday in those town halls. The public option little debacle got us, which was such a made-up story. I congratulate CNN on pumping up something that was truly, at the time, not news. It's become news, but So I think
right.
When he,
well, so you're do, so know, what you're saying is you don't think there that was a big story. You don't think they've actually changed. It certainly sounded like it this weekend that they are willing to negotiate on the public option.
Well, I think that they've always. I think this is what happened. They originally all winter, spring, beginning of summer. He said pretty much what he's been saying as of late, right, which was, I want choice and competition. Public option's the best way to get there. Last month, they started treading into more definitive territory. The word must was used, for example. But I don't think that I have talked to folks at HHS, talked to folks at the White House. I know that they did not intend to make news. They didn't intend to signal that something was different. I think in their minds, it's honestly not different from where he used to be. They do certainly recognize the fact that regardless of how the story started, it is, in fact, a big story now and something that they have to deal with. But,
gosh, if only CNN had radio talk show hosts on that had some connection to people like you and people at the White House that could have cleared things up. Like, oh, that's right, we're not allowed on CNN anymore. I understand. Well, it's not like it's an important debate, this healthcare debate.
Right, but John King's smart. He hired Michelle Giacconi from Meet the Press, who's very smart, and so I commend them for jumping on this story and making it into a bigger deal. Because honestly, what the president said on Saturday was much more definitive than what Secretary Sebelius said on Sunday.
Right. Well, what do you think? I mean, so what's going to happen, Jen? What is your prediction now? Are we going to get a public option or not?
I don't know. I think that it's. I do think it's possible. I mean, there could go. This could break. You know, one of two ways. That one is that the Democrats in the House are so insistent that there's a public option, and then people like Chris Dodd in the Senate, who worked real hard in the Health Committee to get a bill out with a public option, they insist they're not moving. I don't know that you could ever get to 60 votes in the Senate.
For a public option, is what you're saying.
So you could do, possibly you could do it through...
Reconciliation.
That's very... technically difficult to do, and
from what I understand about reconciliation, that means they also could strip out important things.
I actually used to work for the House Budget Committee chairman at one point in my career, and the director of OMB. So I won't get too wonked out on it, but unless something has to do with spending, unless something relates back to either spending or saving money, it's not considered germane, and it can get stripped out of the bill. So you could lose the insurance regulations, and it's subject to. Subject to what they refer to as points of order, meaning somebody on the Senate floor could object, then you need 60 votes to override that. It's a very dicey proposition. But I also think, and I honestly don't know the right answer to this, is it's possible that Obama just would not want to win this way. It's possible that they believe, that the White House believes, not really for political reasons, but I think they may actually believe that when you're making a choice, a change this big, you shouldn't ram it through. You should do it with 60 votes.
So what would your advice be to the president of the White House now as we move into this critical phase when they're going to be coming back in September?
I think he needs to do what he did the last three days last week, where there's passion on our side now because people are angry, which is good. I think that they've been sort of technical and focused on economic issues to this point. I think he needs to elevate the passion in
the way I'm feeling, Jen. That I do not want to see the liars and the screamers and the haters win.
Right.
Such a critical debate in our country.
And people need to feel enthusiastic as well. And so I think that there's actually reason to be enthusiastic and positive about where the debate's going to go. And
oh,
I think
you're a happy, clappy liberal like me, and I love you. Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress. Thanks so much, Jen.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right. The Reverend Jim Wallace. You know, some people think healthcare is a moral issue.
Oh, my God.
What? Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Eric Massa, Democrat of the great state of New York, on the Celebrity Hotline this hour to talk health care. Comedian Hal Sparks live in studio with us all next hour. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it's our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs yesterday on the public option brouhaha. Robert Gibbs, yes.
As I've said now yesterday and earlier today, the president, his position, the administration's position is unchanged, that we have a goal of fostering choice and competition in a private health insurance market. The president prefers a public option as a way of doing that.
Okay, so the new polling, not great news, the showing that more people are against the public option now. When the polls had said, Jim, 70% of the American people or so were for the public option, it appears that many of the right-wing lies are sticking.
They always do.
Mm-hmm. Or as Charles Krauthammer calls it, public anger.
What happened is they understood that with the public option, the public anger is so high they will pass nothing, and that's why it's been abandoned. All of this is a way to placate the left, which understands it's a kabuki dance. It's a way of pretending that it's still on the table. It's off. It's gone. It's dead. It's a dead parrot.
Wow.
A Monty Python reference.
Yeah, right? Charles Krauthammer getting a Monty Python reference in there.
He had a sense of humor.
Wow. Thanks to the people at the town halls yelling, oh, you know, Nazi things, like this woman that yelled Heil Hitler to an Israeli man at a town hall in Vegas.
They have the best health care. It's national health care in Israel. We don't give when we have Memorial Day in Israel, we respect the soldiers. We don't do mattresses sales and weekend. We respect soldiers. Here, we just talk, but we don't respect them. The guys... Did you hear this? She said to a Jew, Heil Hitler. Here? I'm a Jew. You telling me Heil Hitler? Shame of you. Shame of you.
Do you have something you want to say?
What you just tell me, Hitler? You telling me to a Jew, Heil Hitler. Shame of you.
All my family got killed in the Holocaust.
Heil Hitler.
You ought to be the most against President Obama. You are
no, I'm
the
not.
Most
a, I'm not.
Scared.
I want to talk not against Obama or for Obama. I want to talk about the health of Obama. I wasn't. I didn't have insurance. I didn't have insurance. I got to Spring Valley Hospital. 2 hours in emergency room. How much you think they asked me to pay? 2 hours. $8,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what? That woman was wearing an Israeli defense shirt.
Ah.
So.
That's where we've come. Okay.
That is where we've come.
Wow. If only there could someone that could bring some reason and some moral values back to this whole debate. Why? Who is it, Jim?
It's the founder of Sojourners, Reverend Jim Wallace.
Hooray!
Author of God's Politics and the official minister of the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I am not really in the best of moods. How about you?
Yeah. Well, I just got off vacation, but I've been watching these town meetings, and it's alarming about democracy, not just about health care, but really about democracy in this country.
Well, it's getting to be a dangerous mix, isn't it? I mean, just the about now racism that is popping up out there, these Nazi analogies, the people bringing guns. I don't remember a debate like this, at least in my lifetime. Do you?
No, we the faith community is getting very involved in this debate. We have a phone call tonight. Barack Obama's coming on the call with us, actually. It's a big town meeting phone call. And we're trying to bring the issue back to the moral issues, which are 47 million people continue to be without health insurance coverage in America. These are God's children, and this is a moral issue. I did an email this morning about a kid. His name was Sam, 21-year-old kid, strong, healthy. He was preparing for a career in youth ministry. He had a pain in his stomach. He didn't have health care. So he said, I'm young. It'll go away. I'll be fine. He died. Acute pancreatitis, which he didn't know about. And Sam's dead. So while they're screaming and yelling and a lot of lies, pastors are telling me their seniors are coming up and saying, hey, am I going to die under this new health care plan? I hear they're not going to cover old people. I hear they're going to support euthanasia. I hear doctors are going to have to do abortions even if they disagree. None of these things are true.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of lying going on. And so, you know, we're going to have a call tonight, and the president will be on with us. It will be tens of thousands of pastors and lay leaders. And somebody has to bring this back to the moral argument, both the moral argument about those not being covered and truth-telling. I mean, you know, Jesus said you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Right.
But the lies will keep you captive.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the, you know, the sad thing. It's like right at the second, Reverend, in the debate. I mean, I'm sure you've seen this latest NBC poll that people apparently are believing the lies that the right wing are putting out about health care. And, you know, I still have hope that the good guys can win on this debate. Your program, it's called 40 Days for Health Reform. What is that?
Well, it's a number of organizations, Sojourners and PICO and Faith in Public Life and Catholics and Alliance for the Common Good. There's an idea, common good. And we're trying to say, let's really focus back on the moral issues here, which are a lot of people are, you know, America's soul is sick because our health care system is sick. And we have to fix that broken system. It's broken. A lot of people are falling through the cracks. And the truth is, Stephanie, as you know, it's often, you know, faith communities that pick up the broken pieces of people's lives when they fall through the healthcare system. And so, you know, it's like the Good Samaritan by the side of the road. The guy's all beat up, and this healthcare system has left a lot of people by the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to fix the system. And I think tonight we're going to talk about real stories, real people, local pastors, what's happening on the ground, and try and refocus this debate back on the people who are sick and not being covered.
Well, you know, Reverend Wallace, here's the other thing, though, that, you know, a lot of this is politics. I mean, unfortunately,
absolutely,
you wish people would just do things because it's the right thing to do. But,
mm-hmm,
you know, I've heard more than one political consultant say the White House all along should have been focusing on the fears of the 85% who have insurance, not on the 15% who do not. Because that's the problem, is I think the right wing has, I've often said, Reverend, they often play to your worst instincts. You know, it's
right.
Like, who cares about those people that don't have it? You know what I mean? It's a really divisive, fear-mongering approach, but it appears to be working. But we have to understand that those 47 million people that don't have it, they affect those of us that do. The whole system is broken. And
you're right. I mean, it's two things. One is when people don't have health insurance, it really makes the whole thing cost a lot more because they're going to emergency rooms, which is not good for them, not good for the system. It's very expensive if they go at all. It adds cost to it. Plus, there's a lot of folks, as you say, who have health insurance, but not enough, or it doesn't pay for this test, or they can't afford their prescription drugs. So it's probably 80, 100 million people total, who, if you include those who aren't getting the coverage that they need. So the system is broken. And the question about how to fix it, let's have a sane, rational conversation about how to fix a broken system. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to put out some resources. We actually have a study guide that local churches, local groups can use. It's www.sojo.net/healthcare. It's sojo.net/healthcare. And, you know, there's all kind of stuff there to combat some of this misinformation. And getting back to the principles of those who aren't covered or those whose coverage isn't enough, and how this is bankrupting our system, but also causing sickness in our soul. So I'm hoping that in the end, people will take a deep breath and just accept the fact we all know it's broken, how best to fix it.
Yep.
But you know, when we're saying this is a way to bring down Obama, I hear the right saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this shouldn't be about Obama.
Yep.
One way or the other. This should be about our health and our well-being.
Yeah, as he says, I understand he has pretty good health care. So this is...
Yeah.
but, you know, I think the bottom line, Reverend, is are we going to throw the money changers out of the temple or not? Because I think that, you know, sadly, by the time this gets watered down, I'm afraid it's just going to, you know, it's going to be good for the insurance companies again and nobody else.
Well, you know, the truth is, I love the reference to the money changers. There's a lot of people making a lot of money in the present broken system. And so I want to say to people at these town meetings and say, hey, there are a lot of money people who are paying people to come and yell and scream. A lot of these ads, I want to say to my kids, see the ads. I said, kids, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of money making money on the system, and they hired those actors to lie. Just understand, they hired those actors to lie.
Yep.
So is money finally going to control here again, or can we have a serious public discussion about how to fix a broken system? I don't think anybody wants to say, hey, it's going well, this healthcare system. Everyone's covered and doing fine. Most people can tell stories about friends or family or moms or dads or relatives or friends in their congregation. So let's fix the thing.
Right. And Reverend, I still want to believe that, you know, the good guys can win the day here, that the truth shall set us free. And by the way, you're in charge. So 40 minutes for health reform. Let's go. Here we go. 40 days for health reform. You're in charge, and we will follow you, sir. Thanks for taking time for us.
And people can actually get in on the call tonight if they want to. They can go to our website and sign up and listen to this conversation,
cool,
which will be a civil discourse, and the president can try to get it, bring us back to a moral argument here.
Yeah, I'm guessing it will be the one town hall that will be free of people yelling Nazi references.
I don't think there's any Heil Hitler's plan.
Yeah. And we have a link to your website up at stephaniemiller.com. So,
terrific.
Yeah.
Well, we should, as he is the official minister of the Stephanie Miller
Show.
Right. Thank you. Reverend Jim Wallace.
It's a role that I cherish.
I'd leave it off the resume, but thank you.
God bless you, everyone.
God bless you, Reverend. There he goes. Reverend Jim Wallace,
yay,
author of God's Politics.
Yes.
How the right gets it wrong and the left doesn't get it.
And handy with the Dickens reference.
And I just tweeted the website the website he mentioned, where you can combat the healthcare misinformation. So that's
great.
Up in the Twitter
feed. See how impressed he was I threw out that money changers reference just like that.
It's like you actually been to church sometime the last three decades.
Since Catholic school. Bill in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say that when it comes to the NBC News poll, Chris has got it right. It is all in how you ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
And NBC News changed the question. Media Matters caught him at it.
Yeah.
In June, the question that they asked regarding the public plan option is, in any health care proposal, how important do you feel it is to give people a choice of both a public plan administered by the federal government and a private plan for their health insurance? And they asked him to answer extremely important, quite important, not that important, and not at all important. In July, they changed the wording to, would you favor or oppose creating a public health care plan administered by the federal government that would compete directly with private health insurance companies?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Completely different question.
Right.
And funny thing, support for the plan went down.
Huh. Yeah, yeah.
You'd think, Chuck Todd, rhyming with God, would catch that. Why didn't he?
Okay, last night on Hardball, when he was talking about this in depth with Chris Matthews,
mm-hmm,
at the very end of their discussion, he had one quick little throwaway sentence that happened to mention this change, and that's why I went looking for it this morning.
Mm.
And he just threw it away. NBC News never reported this when they did it on their national news.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were the liberal network.
You can't trust anybody in the media anymore.
Well, they're all corporate-owned.
What's been annoying about all of these polls, because you're going, okay, when they explain it, like what the plan is, the numbers are yes, yes, yes,
right,
and then you go, what?
But the important story is that all the media outlets are controlled by these massive corporations.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
all going to be like Fox News before too long.
Yeah. 20 minutes after the hour, the White House continues to step back from the weekend comments they would consider dropping the public option. We will tell you all about that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So the White House continuing to try to stuff the public plan toothpaste back in the tube.
So when you say a public option is now the president's preferred choice, has been and is his preferred choice.
I'm not just saying that now. I'm saying I said that repeatedly. The president has said
that. Okay, so is the public option an essential part of health reform?
I think the president answered that on Saturday.
Couldn't give an answer.
God. My future husband, Senator Russ Feingold, called the option fundamental to a package that brings a real change to the system. Asked if Sebelius' earlier remarks were a signal that the administration was shifting position, Gibbs said if it was a signal, it was a dog whistle that we started blowing about 3 months ago. Kathleen Sebelius, this was yesterday.
We continue to support the public option that will help lower costs, give American consumers more choice, and keep private insurers honest. If people have other ideas about how to accomplish these goals, we'll look at those too. But the public option is a very good way to do this.
Yeah, here's another idea, Jim. How about the watered-down co-ops that won't work anyway, and the Republicans aren't going to vote for that either?
Yep.
How about that? There you go. There's some bipartisanship.
We want a bipartisan bill. It's got to be bipartisan.
Carla in Minneapolis.
Hey, Stephanie, I just am giving you a news update from the Midwest.
Oh, breaking news from the Midwest.
Right.
Yes, thank you.
I know it takes a while sometimes for the West Coast to catch up with us.
Yes.
So anyway, AM 950 that I listen to that carries your show.
Yes.
Thing,
thank you.
Carries the CNN news feed. And the CNN news feed was reporting this morning that the White House is prepared to do reconciliation through the Senate because of the pressure from the left.
Well, that would be, I think, some good news. Yeah, the New York Times reporting that. We already did say that, by the way. So we did start everything here, Carla.
But, I'm sorry.
All right,
here
that's
I
all
am
right.
Again, Midwest thinks we know everything.
Exactly.
Sheesh.
Sheesh. Yeah, the New York Times reporting this morning. Yes, from the Department of Sherlock.
Yes.
Democrats see little chance for Republican cooperation on health care. Huh?
Who could have seen that coming?
They've been so nice. Given a hardening Republican opposition to congressional health care proposals, Democrats now say they see little chance for the minority's cooperation in approving any overhaul and are increasingly focused on drawing support for a final plan from within their own ranks.
Yeah,
good luck
now.
Good
now
luck with that as well.
Lucy promised she wouldn't take away the football this time.
Uh-huh.
She lied again?
We've just realized maybe they are going to pull the football out from under us. Representative Eric Massa, Democrat of the great state of New York, to tell us what's next in the healthcare fight as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Are you mad?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. As we wade into the murky healthcare waters once more. If only there was a lifeguard. What? Who is it, Jim?
From the great state of New York, it's Representative Eric Massa.
We love him. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephen. You got to know I'm one of your biggest. I used to listen to you when you started out in Rochester with Brother Lee.
Oh,
wow.
No. Now we're going back to Sister Slee's days.
I wasn't going to use your old title, but I'm a big fan, and it's great to be with you here today.
Wow.
They're related to the Doobie Brothers.
Wow. Now we are going back some. That's not many congressmen would say yes to. Would you like to be on Sister Sleaze's radio show this morning? Anyway, Congressman, there is obviously a lot of heat and noise going on right now with the White House seeming like they're backing away from the public option. Now they're denying it today. These new NBC poll numbers obviously don't look good for the president. What is your take on where we're at?
So it is the purpose of a member of Congress to be deliberative, to listen to all sides of the argument, to actually read the legislation, which I have now four times cover to cover, and to, as best he or she can, cast a vote that will do the most to help their constituents. I know that's going to sound odd on this show, but I quote Ronald Reagan when I look at complex issues. At its core, he said, we must have the courage to do what is morally right. And that is what we're caught up in. So it doesn't matter what the spin of the day is, and we're going to get a lot more of that spin before we actually get to a vote. We're going to go through many different iterations, but it is my job and the job of my colleagues in Congress to actually think about what we are doing. That's where I'm at in the process right now.
Mm-hmm. I get confused even asking. I mean, we had Governor Dean on yesterday, and he is still saying we are going to get a public option. But and then other people are saying it's absolutely dead. What is your take?
So first, you got to define, what is a public option, because so many people are confused as to what that means. So here's what it means. It means that we have the ability of all Americans to access Medicare. Everybody knows what Medicare is. My parents, other people's parents, turn 65, and you get the benefits of what you paid into during your life of work. That's the concept of a public option. If we back away from that, then real health care reform will only be more of the same, empowering the private for-profit health industry. And frankly, that's one of the reasons that we're in the trouble we're in right now.
Right, right. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Obviously people are already starting to write postmortems on what went wrong here. Is that premature? What do you think is going to happen?
Of course it's premature. Right now we are in a phase of this legislation, and we have been here before many, many times in the history of our country. I personally am very glad, because I actually raised my hand and fought for it, to be able to come back to my district and listen to the constituents and address concerns and dispel a lot of the wild statements that are being made that just aren't true. I've had over 47 town hall meetings since I was elected. I think I'm on my 48th. And, these are very well attended. They have not been contentious. I have been called every name in the book, but that goes with the job. That's fine, too. And I am hearing and addressing the concerns of my constituents. And I'm going to incorporate that into my position when we return for the final drafting of this legislation.
Right. So, I'm sure you've heard about this NBC News poll. I mean, I guess the worst news in it is it just seems like all of the out-and-out lies that the right wing have told have seemed to have sunk in, that people, unfortunately, are believing a lot of the things that are not in the bill.
There's no doubt that that's true. And I have experienced that every night at town hall meetings, where regardless of what you try to say, because these gross inaccuracies, out-and-out false statements, are easy to understand, 30-second sound bites, and the legislation, the bill, is very hard to read and very hard to understand. The path of least resistance wins. So we have to communicate better what it is everybody wants, because Republicans and Democrats both stand up and say, we need health care reform. We just got to communicate better that we really are on the same sheet of music, but we have to dispel these lies that are being put out there, frankly, I think, by the special interests who don't want to see any change.
Yep. I had a senior citizen congressman call the show yesterday and, say that she's been to the town halls and she can sum up what senior citizens are saying. I've got mine. Screw you. I know that they somehow have succeeded in fear-mongering and dividing enough that they have scared seniors into thinking they're going to lose their Medicare with health care
I don't think we're in risk of losing
or cut it,
Well, that is a challenge, Stephanie. We've got to be honest with everyone. As the bill is right now written, as we look at potential savings means cuts to providers. And that's very problematic. And that's one of the things that we absolutely have to work through and find a way to make sure it doesn't happen. So that concern actually is one of the things that I think has to be addressed in real time. But things like abortion on demand or euthanasia or the government being able to access your checking account and find out how much money is there, those are all just out and out falsehoods.
Now, the breaking news, obviously, out of the New York Times this morning is that Democrats see little chance for Republican cooperation on health care, which is shocking to many of us that this just occurred to to many Democrats. But do you think that's what's going to happen, is that Democrats are moving ahead, basically, with getting it done on their own?
I have had friends and colleagues of mine who are Republicans tell me privately that they don't care what's in this bill or any other health care bill, they will vote against it because, as Senator DeMint said, this is about defeating the president. It's not about helping Americans. Those, that's where he's coming from. And this is nothing new. This is politics and the games afoot. It's been going on since the days of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. So if the other side of the aisle, my friends across the other side, don't want to be part of the solution, then we've got to figure out what we can do to try to move a solution forward.
Well, that's exactly right, Congressman. I mean, you're hearing one person after another, whether it's Grassley or Kyle on the Republican side, say they're not going to vote for it no matter what it is, whether it's co-ops, whether it reduces the deficit, whether it's, so that's what I keep saying is, why do we keep making concessions to people that pretty much are not, you're absolutely right, are not going to vote for anything?
If I will shake anyone's hand if they're not stabbing me in the back. And if someone comes up to me and says, I don't care what it is, I'm not going to do this because there's political considerations, then no matter what we do, we're kind of up a creek. The problem is this is bigger than the Democratic Party and it's bigger than the Republican Party. This is about real people in life and death situations as to whether or not they can actually access what is the greatest healthcare system in the world. And I think it is if you can access it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But millions of people in this country cannot access it. And if we keep doing what we're doing, millions more will be in that position.
Right. And I think the thing that we have to drive home is how that affects the people that do have insurance. The fact that we have that many people that don't means, as we've said over and over again, they're going to emergency rooms. It drives the costs up for all of us.
We have a huge health care tax in this country. It's hidden. It's in every loaf of bread we buy, every car that we purchase, because we are one of the only nations in the world, if not perhaps the only industrialized nation, that does two things. One, we actually go with a private health insurance system. And two, we burden 50% of that cost on our business community. So we can't continue to do that. We can't compete with the rest of the world.
Yep, absolutely. The president made that point the other day. You don't see it. It's in your paycheck, though. You know what I mean? That's the thing, is people think, oh, well, this isn't costing me anything. And that's just not true.
Of course, it's costing everybody a whole heck of a lot. But if Senator Grassley wants to stand up before his constituents and tell them that they should be fearful, he is doing a tremendous disservice to them.
Yep.
Instead, what he should have said is, you ought to be inquisitive. You ought to be involved. You ought to ask questions. You ought to find answers. But when he looks at him and says, you ought to be fearful, that, frankly, is unacceptable from a member of Congress in high office.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman Eric Massa of the great state of New York, thanks for taking time for us as always. We appreciate
it. Thank you. Stephanie, we're going to get you back up here on the Brother Wee Show?
Listen, if things keep going as they are, I may end up back in the morning zoo business. All right, thank you, Representative. I appreciate it. There you go.
Hooray!
Wow. Do I feel old and sleazy? Okay. 40.
Well, yeah, how long ago was that?
That'd be back in
1945?
Shush!
back in the Fibber McGee and
Molly
days?
Mr. Marconi and I said, that would have been back in the 1980s.
Wow. All back right. In the heyday of morning zoo radio.
A lot of slide whistle. 43 minutes after the hour.
Good buddy every morning.
Brought it with me. 43 minutes after the hour.
I'll bet you did say good buddy every morning, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Who needs a public option when you have... Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Faith in Gainesville, Florida, on healthcare. Hi, Faith.
Oh, bitter, bitter. I'm bitter, I tell you.
Bitter. I've been bitter for many, many years now. Thank you.
By the time I got to the fifth grade, I was very bitter. Very, very bitter. A bitter, bitter person.
Hello, Faith.
That would be me. The whole problem here is that it doesn't matter how many facts we have. It doesn't matter if the guy on C-SPAN from factchecker.org is on the air, or a congressman or a senator or anybody, the president, telling the truth. People who are convinced of these lies are never going to budge off of that. And it is totally just coloring the public debate on the media and the polls and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fight the lies by telling the truth.
Well, so what do we do? That's what someone said yesterday. He's like, okay, let's start telling our own lies. I mean, I guess that's the thing when you try to play fair and have an actual debate.
I keep saying that it's time for us to stop playing quite so fair.
Yeah. All right. Jim, that'll be your job to get up, make up some new lies for our side.
Okay.
All right.
No, just lies are easy. They're simple and they're emotional, and
yep.
You don't have to think about them. Explaining actual policy is much more difficult and nuanced, and people have been have their brains adjusted by 50 years of television, 60 years actually, and they don't digest big chunks of complicated information anymore.
Yes.
Obama's going to kill grandma! Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Frustrated liberals have a question for President Obama and Democratic lawmakers. Isn't it time the other guys gave a little ground on health care? What's the point of a bipartisan bill, they ask, if we're making all the concessions? Case in point, Senator Chuck Grassley, he would be Exhibit A.
Now, what did Jim call him yesterday?
Schmuck Astley.
Oh, okay.
He misspoke.
Okay. No. Oops.
He was on a winning spree as the Congress recessed, having wrung important concessions from Democrats. Do we not get that we have the White House and huge majorities in both houses, including an agreement not to tax employer-provided health insurance and to limit demands on drug companies? How did Grassley reciprocate with an attack that struck Democrats as stunning and baseless? He told an Iowa crowd he would not support a plan that determines when you're going to pull the plug on grandma, which he knows very well is not the bill.
Right.
But he didn't say it was in the bill. He said he wouldn't support it and implied that it was in the bill. So
he wasn't
even technically lying.
It was another sign that months of negotiations have been a one-way street. On Tuesday, obviously, liberals fuming over Obama's remarks suggesting he may also yield on the public option. Many saw it as a concession that could leave them with nothing more than watered-down insurance cooperatives. John Kyle then dismissed even co-ops as a Trojan horse leading government control of health care, and they wouldn't support that either. Republicans are going to oppose health care reform no matter how many concessions Democrats make, said someone from Media Matters Action Network. There's simply no need for bipartisan talks, which is what we and Chairman Governor Dr. Howard Dean have been saying since day one. Even if Democrats manage to produce a health care bill that won't increase the federal deficit over 10 years, Kyle said, that doesn't mean Republicans would support it. And Grassley has said he's uninterested in the compromise that draws only 3 or so Senate Republican votes. So he's not interested in that.
Hmm.
Okay, so Senator Kent Conrad, I don't know why
he used to be a friend of the show.
Yes,
mm-hmm. They think there would be 12 million members in very short order that would become the third largest insurer in the country and would provide meaningful competition.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't think it will, and they won't even support that compromise anyway.
Yeah.
There have never been the votes in the United States for public option. That's just a fact. That's why I was asked to come up with an alternative, something that might bridge the differences here.
I was asked to bend over just a little more, and then, much to my surprise, John Kyle, what?
Hey!
Senator Kyle
That's
yesterday.
That's not fair.
Harry Reid said we're going to have the same type of public option. Call it co-op, call it what you want. It's by another name, and it is a Trojan horse.
Okay, let's go to Nathan in New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Nathan.
Hi. I love your show.
Thank you, Nathan. You're 11?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just have two quick questions.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to know, what the word MOOC actually means.
No one's really sure.
No one's really sure. I think I picked it up in New York.
Several derivations.
It's a couple of dorks. I don't know.
That's great.
No.
That's great. And I was wondering if I could be the official 11-year-old gothic atheist hippie of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow. Absolutely, Nathan.
Wow.
And not a moment too soon. There were a lot of applications.
All yes.
right.
That's
Thank
nice.
You, Nathan.
Thanks.
All right.
A gothic hippie? Isn't that oxymoronic?
He's going through the change faster than Scott McClellan did. Why, Scott McClellan was nearly 45 in
Tel Aviv
before his voice changed. Okay.
Yeah, well, his voice dropped faster than Ethan in Sacramento.
That's true. Nan in St. Louis, Missouri. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Please, somebody has got to finally tell the truth. The Republicans and the Democrats are lying to all of us. The initial premise that was presented to all of us that the uninsured using the emergency room is what's driving the increase in the cost of health care. That is the, none of us even questioned that. That is the first initial biggest lie. The uninsured, take California for instance, represent 2% of the people being admitted to the hospital are uninsured. They represent 35% of the hospital's profit. The loss is coming from the people who are insured, who have a procedure done, and then the insurance company denies the claim, or whom they pay the claim, but they drastically underpay it. In reality, the people that are uninsured are actually paying for the people that are insured. And the hospitals have been given a predatory collection tool that nobody else has, which they can have you arrested and then they can garnish your wages. And believe me, I know mine are being garnished right now, and the nonprofit hospitals are the most predatory for collecting a debt.
Okay, honey, good points. I just, that's what I'm amazed at, is that they have succeeded, it seems like, for the moment, in scaring people enough to really think like we don't need, this healthcare system doesn't need any kind of reform. That's all I can say. You know what I'm saying. My point is, Alex in Michigan.
I just want to break down crying.
My suggestion is you start drinking heavily.
Alex, too late for me. Alex in Michigan.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
What's amazing to me is that 9 months after President Obama is basically put in office, we have to argue with him and plead and cajole just to get a public option as a health care option on a plan. It's unbelievable. Now think back to the election period when he ran an excellent campaign, got the message across, mobilized people for his candidacy. You're telling me he can't do the same for healthcare reform, a public option, or better yet, a national healthcare policy? Something's wrong here, and if he's not doing it, he doesn't want to do it. So
well, I that's the problem. I don't think we know yet whether this is chess or checkers or. Certainly right now it feels disappointing.
It's not in President Obama's nature to play checkers. Have we ever known him to play checkers? He's always seen a few moves ahead. So I don't know why he would suddenly switch to playing checkers here. That's the hope I have to hold on to.
Yeah.
Oh, the Charles Krauthammers of the world on the Brit Bear.
Burper.
He clearly has shifted radically. You can't say on the one hand, it must be in anything I sign, and then say it's only a sliver and pretend that you are consistent.
It looks like that to me. As people have said, it looks a little like trying to get the toothpaste back in the tube. I mean, we played the sound bites yesterday, Chris. He very clearly has said it in the past, and clearly, I think it was more his comments than Sebelius or anybody else that alarmed people this weekend. So we will continue to discuss that 57 minutes after the hour, and comedian extraordinaire Hal Sparks live in studio next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, all right now.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. Cling! All right. Are the O'Reillys of the world winning on the health care debate?
In the health care debate, left-wing loons are insistent that the government run the entire health care system. They call it social justice. Talking Points believes the Obama administration is intimidated by the far left and fear their zealotry.
If only.
But if the president governs in their direction, he will fail dismally.
Yeah.
The United States, ladies and gentlemen, is a center-right country with a strong tradition of self-reliance. Mr. Obama would be wise to consider that.
Wow! We're center-right after Obama just won in a landslide and we got the House and the Senate. Huh. Interesting. Okay. Hannity says it's all because of those regular folks, Chris, that just showed up out of nowhere at the town halls to scream Nazi analogies.
Those grandmothers that are showing up and those veterans that are showing up and those stay-at-home moms, those angry mobsters, that they've had a really profound effect this August. I have not witnessed this in my lifetime, such a strong impact by the public.
Regular moms that happen to be the head of Republican parties in certain counties. And people that like to yell Nazi analogies at Barney Frank.
Yeah. Why do you continue to support a Nazi policy, as Obama has expressly supported this policy? Why are you supporting it?
Let me, I will...
A real solution.
When you ask me that question, I am going to revert to my ethnic heritage and ask to your question with a question. On what planet do you spend most of your time? Do you want me to answer the question? Yes, and you stand there with a picture of the president, the face to look like Hitler, and compare the effort to increase health care to the Nazis. My answer to you is, as I said before, it is a tribute to the First Amendment that this kind of vile, contemptible nonsense is so freely propagated. Ma'am, trying to have a conversation with you would be like trying to argue with a dining room table. I have no interest in doing it.
Now, that's how to do a town hall smackdown. By the way, we're still hoping that you are wrong, Chris, as usual, and that I am right, that we will get a health care reform. Aswad writes, Steph, I remember you guys talking about the whole peeing in the shower thing. I am saving the planet by peeing in the shower and therefore saving water. I thought I'd give it a try. I speed walk 8 miles three times a week. I was getting terrible athlete's foot on the top of my feet, so one day when I got back, I said, what the heck, I'll give it a shot. I peed on the tops of both feet, and I haven't had athlete's foot since. So once again, Mama is right, anxious is wrong.
It's a fungicide.
It is. It's a fungicide. Yeah,
how long do you shower, then? If you're showering for half an hour, you're not saving any water.
I don't shower for half an hour.
Okay.
All right. You know, as if it could get any more fun in here, I feel like there's just fun around the corner. What? Jim, who is it?
It's actor, comedian, musician, insomniac, multitasker, Hal Sparks.
What? You'd think I could see him. He's sitting right next to me.
I know. You'd think after all this time, the time we spent together, that, you know, the minute I walk into a room, you just kind of feel my gaze. As opposed to,
you know, even having
to wait until I sit down. Hello.
Hello, Hal Sparks.
What? I don't get a sound effect. There should be some sort of sound effect. We have to add one for you.
Yes. Yeah,
some sort of, like, warm, romantic.
Hello now.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Hey, ma'am, I brought your pizza.
And here's your sausage.
These town halls, unless you enter a room yelling a Nazi analogy, no one pays attention
to you. That's true. Maybe I should just come in there going, well, how do you support these Nazi underpants? I will take them off. I can't wait to the town hall of the porn. That's going to come out. You got to have that. You know what I mean? They did Nail and Palin. Why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all MILFs and old people to sell. You know, octogenarian porn.
Oh,
like,
boy.
I've come here to yell at your proposal, if you know what I mean.
All right, let's take a quick look at some news we don't want to lose. Shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. Hey, speaking of porn, the headline is future tourism may include robot sex.
Huh? Yeah.
Whew, it looks like science fiction, but robot bar staff, hotel rooms that change color, cruise ships as big as aircraft carriers, and even robot sex are part of the future for travelers, a tourism conference has been told. You'll have
New Zealand.
Yes.
It's kind of important.
You'll have some sort of interaction in terms of robots doing certain types of mundane activities. Even robot prostitutes that would not pass on diseases such as HIV can make an appearance, according to the head of tourism.
I'm telling you, all you got to do is mix the real doll with the Roomba, and it cleans up afterwards. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
robot hose.
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely.
We have. Who do we have?
It's this New Zealand guy, Dr. Ian Yeoman, New Zealand tourism futurologist or something. Anyway.
How bizarre.
In the morning, in the evening, ain't we got fun? Hello, I'm Dr. Ian Yeoman, tourism futurologist and cruise director of the virtual cruise ship, the HMS Kitty Lee Gifford. In the not-too-distant future, the combined effects of global warming and holes in the ozone layer will make it virtually impossible to go outside without being asphyxiated by excess CO2 and blinded by UV rays. The solution? Get your kicks on the inside, sunshine. Indoor artificial ski resorts, artificial zoos and circuses with robotic animals and robotic sanitation workers to walk behind them to pick up the artificial elephant dung. Robot waiters and bartenders, so tipping will be a thing of the past. As will pregnancy and sexually transmitted disease with our line of cyborg prostitutes. Some very popular models will include the Kim Kardashian, capacious booty not included, the multitasking Hayden Panettiere, who will save dolphins as she's flogging yours, and the Angelina Jolie, who comes with a robotic triage nurse to stitch up any knife wounds you may have suffered during foreplay. And don't miss the fabulous all-you-can-eat buffet. There won't be any actual food left by the year 2050, but you'll be amazed at what they can do with Soylent Red, Soylent Yellow, and, of course, the very tasty Soylent Green. And if it's all too much for you to take, ask the ship's death panel about the assisted suicide option. You can lie in a comfortable bed while surrounded by beautiful images of the pristine Earth as it used to be, as a potent cocktail of drugs eases you into Morpheus' sweet embrace. Crikey, Dick, ain't we got fun indeed? Hooray!
All right. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Rawl.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True. Thailand, StephanieMiller.com. Buy the album. Thank you.
You know, the Stephanie Miller Show, Hal, the home of happy, clappy liberalism.
Uh-huh.
However, as you know, we're feeling a little droopy about health care reform this morning.
Not at all.
And you
are
my happy, clappy friend.
Absolutely.
Play Mama's happy music. Tell me what's going to happen.
Let me take you back a little bit into the recent past.
Oh, by the way, Julie from Seattle has come up with our first lie that we should start telling. Everyone that votes for health care reform will all get a free pony.
Oh, yeah.
Nano.
No, I think we should start pushing that we get the, if you vote for health care reform, you get the good batch of swine flu vaccine. Mm. And if you vote against it, you get the bad batch, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
All right.
So if you remember the stimulus package, for example. Let's go back to the stimulus package, shall we? Do you remember the hand-wringing and freaking out that we all did back and forth? Why can't the Obama administration get their message straight? And will it help or won't it help? And where are the things? Oh, it passed.
Right.
And then we got to Sonia Sotomayor.
Right.
But they're calling her a racist, and he's just letting it happen. And then everyone's fighting back and forth, and they're never going to get it through, and they're just allowing these people like Sessions to say that, oh, she got through. I'm just saying I'm starting to see a pattern here.
Yeah.
And I think it's not as, the Obama administration has definitely been blindsided by a little bit of stuff. But the vast majority of it is, look, we can only get stuff passed through if we've got people calling their congressperson. And if we are the super champion, they don't feel the need to. It's kind of like Hancock or Superman or Spider-Man. Like, once you've got this kind of massive hero situation, people tend to back off and stop, you know, handling it themselves. What he needed to do is motivate the people who got him elected. And the thing that got him pushed through largely was, A, his message and what he was, you know, talking about that was good, but also the fact that your other choice was Palin.
Right.
That's what drove people to the polls, really. It motivated people. And in this similar situation, he can go, look, we're trying to be bipartisan about this. You know, we need every vote we can get. So people are now calling. And when you come out over the weekend and you go, there are other options other than the public option that we have, people freaked out.
Right.
And two, it baited the Republicans out onto the field saying we wouldn't even vote for a co-op. when they were using that in their back pocket as this kind of thing, like, oh, well, we've got, you know, the president's not even talking about the other options that we have. He just wants to push this public option. Like, okay, let's talk about that then. What's your other option? Well, we wouldn't vote for co-ops either. Well, the hell with you then.
Yeah.
And it's worked.
So that's what I was saying is, but was this his plan all along?
I definitely think it's a mixture of there's definitely been, I think they were sideswiped a little bit by the crazy BS.
Right. Well, speaking of Sarah Palin, she comes out and tells the death panel lie. They drop the death panel, you know,
end of life care.
So you're like, you know, that's what I was saying earlier, Hal, is are the liars and the haters and the yellers going to win this debate? And you know, but here's the other good news, the breaking news this morning. They did another poll. Mm-hmm. Sarah Palin would lose really big time in 2012 against Obama. Mm-hmm. The 2012 race were held today. And Palin were the GOP candidate, she would get wiped out by President Obama. 33% would go for Palin compared to Obama's 56%.
Well, yeah.
South should be wiped out.
Right. Well, look at 33%. If you took all the people who are BS crazy enough to vote for someone like Sarah Palin with such a total disregard for any the direction of the country, the worth, the quality of what we would need as an elected official, there are 33% of these people polled would actually vote for her. This is the entire number that's showing up at these healthcare debates.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of that crazy Republican women, Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, yes. Double hotness. She had an oily taint in 2012.
It is not within our power as members of Congress. It's not within the enumerated powers of the Constitution for us to design and create a national takeover of health care, nor is it within our ability to be able to delegate that responsibility to the executive. We need to listen to our constituents, and they're telling us from Alaska to Hawaii to Florida to Maine to Minnesota to Texas, do not have the federal government take over health care, and members of Congress will vote against their constituents at their peril.
Yeah, actually not. First of all, the government is not creating a takeover of healthcare. Mm-hmm, it is an insurance alternative, and it's a reform on what insurance companies are allowed to do, like kicking people off when they're already sick, denying care. All the things about the death panels already exist. If there's any such thing as a death panel, it is the swipe of a pen from an insurance executive who says you can't have that care because it's experimental or it's not. We don't think it's worth the money. That's already happening. So the idea that somehow the government's going to start doing it doesn't happen with Medicare. It does happen with private insurance.
Speaking of which, you know what's just occurred to me? Tom Hartman's really smart.
That's true. Yes. And he's so smart you can smell the hemp smoke coming out of his ears and stuff. It's like, it's amazing. I think he's completely recycled.
Somebody sent me the letter he wrote to the president, which let me read part of it. Can I have my really, really smart music? Thanks, Chris. Dear President Obama, I understand you're thinking of dumping your public option because of all the demagoguery by Sarah Palin and Dick Armey and Newt Gingrich and their crowd on right-wing radio and Fox. Fine. Good idea, in fact. Instead, let's make it simple. Please let us buy into Medicare. It would be so easy. You don't have to reinvent the wheel with this so-called public option that's a whole new program from the ground up. Medicare already exists. It works. Some people will like it. Others won't, just like the post office versus the FedEx analogy you're so comfortable with. Just pass a simple bill. It could be just a few lines, like when Medicare was expanded to include disabled people, that says any American citizen can buy into the program at a rate to be set by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the Department of Health and Human Services, which reflects the actual cost for us to buy into it. So it's revenue neutral. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to read the whole letter. This lets you blow up all the rumors about death panels and grandma and everything else. Everyone knows what Medicare is. Those who scorn it can go with Blue Cross. Those who like it can buy into it. Simplicity itself. It talks about we need a couple of fixes, blah, blah. We elected you because we expected you to have the courage of your convictions. Here's how. Not the single-payer Medicare for all that many of us would prefer, but a simple Medicare for anyone who wants to buy in. Respectfully, Tom Hartman.
He's a great guy.
That's what I've been saying all along. Why can't we just expand Medicare?
Right.
It's so difficult.
Well, and ultimately that is what's going to happen. I mean, after all this hand-wringing and back and forth, what the public option ultimately will be that Medicare, what they're trying to do, too, is protect some of the insurance companies by making it such a sweet deal.
Right.
You know, so that's why the bill is longer than that. That's why there's another agency. And the creation of this online kind of shopping ability that you can go on and you can choose. So you can
exchanges.
Actually compare. Yeah, the exchange.
That's what Joe Klein was saying last night on Ed Schultz, that's the most important part is the exchanges.
Exactly. And that's why Obama this weekend said the public option is not the the key, the exchange is the bigger part of it. The real thing is being able, people being able to honestly differentiate between what they're getting from an insurance company. And then I think, and I agree with Obama on this, I think the most important point is creating some sort of a system so that they can't deny care.
Yeah.
So
all right.
They can't, the pre-existing condition element is the biggest portion of all health care reform.
Do you agree or disagree with HealthSparks? If you disagree, please call him a Nazi.
21 yes, exactly.
After the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the number. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, that's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, and why you founded HealthSparks.
Yes, I have.
1-800-STEPH-12.
You've been reading my mind. That's the whole thought that's been running through my head all morning.
It's
the
problem we play ZZ Top.
Right.
HealthSparks has some happy, happy joy news, I think, on DOMA and Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and we will do that after the break.
Okay.
Because he's not a gay man, but he played one on TV, so everyone thinks he's an expert
quite
on all those issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
With a level of commitment that has hardly been seen.
Yeah.
Film.
Yeah.
Before or since. Thanks.
Tim and Madison.
The son of Jeff Stryker.
Absolutely.
Tim and Madison, I believe you play a gay man on my radio show, and you actually are one, are you not?
I am. This is why I love HealthSparks. If he were gay, I'd be over him like man candy.
I appreciate
man
that.
Candy.
Man
candy.
Man candy.
I couldn't think of something on top of my head.
No, that works. That's an appropriate analogy for me, I think.
All right.
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead,
Even
Tim.
With your long hair, when you have long hair.
Yeah.
I looked at your new photos. I loved it.
Oh, thanks.
Anyway, you know, I think that is what we really need to do is we have to put out to our Congress critters and to the president saying that we want this public option no
yep.
matter what.
Yep.
And if we don't, we'll start shopping for new Congress critters in 2010 and 2012 and a new president in 2012.
Yep.
I think that's what has to be said. And I think a lot of people are saying it, but I understand that President Obama plays chess while we're all playing, you know.
Checkers.
Checkers.
Pickup sticks.
Probably just, you know.
Beanbag, tic-tac-toe, jarts.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But it's getting really discouraging, especially what he said on Saturday, that it just made me really nervous when he said, you know, the public option is only a sliver. You know, there's other
well,
options.
I choose
options.
To
and
believe.
I was looking at that like,
yeah.
okay, we're not going to have a public option
well,
anymore.
I choose to believe my gurus, Chairman Dean, Governor Howard Dean, and HealthSparks, my
you.
New healthcare guru.
And I do want to say, I know it's discouraging, but that discouragement should drive you to more action, not less. There's a tendency.
Yeah, no, I'm not ready to give up the fight yet.
Yes, I'm speaking openly to not just you, to everyone.
By
you
the know. Way, that was true love. From that's a gay man that didn't even care about your personal grooming and the long hair phase and all of that.
Yeah.
Where do you find a gay man that doesn't care about personal grooming?
I know.
28 minutes after the
dedication's
hour.
Dedication's impressive.
All right. Back with happy thoughts on DOMA and Don't Ask, Don't Tell as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are, as we say in Latin, a Dorcas Malorcas.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, there's some breaking good news for America, bad news for Republicans news. GM, General Motors, has said that it is increasing production in North America for the second half of 2009 after a surge in sales ignited by the U.S. government's Cash for Clunkers stimulus program.
But Laura Ingraham said it was a
failure. Yeah, I heard it was a failure.
What a world.
They will be
what a world.
Rehiring over 1,300 workers.
Someone threw water on Laura again.
Yeah, apparently Dell and Oshkosh are also rehiring. people.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Huh. The stimulus is working.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm hoping that Bill Clinton will be right on the health care as well, because, again, you know, not good poll numbers today for the president and for the health care reform. But he said, if you're right, and this is chess right. instead of checkers, when he signs it, his numbers will go back up. There was just this USA Today Gallup poll said 57% of adults say the stimulus package is not working, because that's the right-wing talking point.
Absolutely.
And then now it's like today it's you go, oh.
It's not a matter of, it's here's the thing.
The facts have a liberal bias. That's the problem.
Right. And you're also going to look at the fact that Obama's in the middle of how all this stuff works. And when you're, you know, it's the making sausage argument. Like, in the middle of it, it's going to look horrible. But in a couple of months, when this becomes abundantly clear that it's moving in the right direction, it's going to be tough for the Republicans in 2010, where they think it's going to be easy right now. They're spending all their ammo on the field now.
Yep.
And in 5 months, it's the numbers are not going to be in their favor. And I mean, that's why Nate Silver is going, I don't think so.
Yeah.
To use another game
By the way,
Obama's a poker player, and they've just showed their hand.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see GM is the Volt is going to get 230 miles per gallon?
Yeah.
Holy.
Again, oh, man, amazingly, we can't drive down. How long do we wait for Ford and GM and Chrysler and all these companies, especially during the Reagan era, where they're just like, we can't get below 28. It's going to cost us too much money, and we won't be able to make it. And just cars can't be made that way, and people won't buy them and stuff like that. And
within, what a disaster.
How long did it take?
Yeah.
How long did it take after the they started to go bankrupt and we bailed them out for them to come up with a car that doesn't make 50 miles to the gallon, doesn't, you know, runs 260 miles on a single charge, runs 140 on a full charge on the highway, which means wide open. They're already talking about speed charging centers for these Nissan, the Nissan car that's going to come out, the Leaf, which is coming out next fall, that has a 360-mile city range, which means you wouldn't have to charge it but every 3 days like a cell phone. It's stunning to me how quickly.
There's an app for that.
Yeah, exactly. There's an app for everything.
A lot of people won't be able to drive their car, though, because they left their charger in their hotel room.
Totally.
That happens.
Absolutely. But you know how many people are going to make money selling chargers?
Yeah.
How many chargers have you bought?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
House Sparks, you make me happy.
Oh,
you know that.
It's true. I would so make you happy, like you have no idea. I mean, if you think this is something...
That's because you play the game Anna Grew spoke, but you're not. However,
yes,
you...
that's true, but I learned a lot of things. Things that
but
can
you
be
were talking during the break about
other people.
Because a lot of obviously gay groups are getting very impatient with the president, shall we say, on DOMA and on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. What were you saying?
Well, I would say, first of all, I think the motion on Don't Ask, Don't Tell is very good. I think he's gotten through that period where the Joint Chiefs and with the heads of the military, where he's gone to them and gone, okay, what's the problem with overturning this? And they've gotten to the point where they finally started saying nothing at all. This isn't necessary. And he's got the message about it affecting national security really did take hold. People are much more comfortable with overturning it in general. But then DOMA, this is an interesting shift. You know,
because Monday he said he still wants to scrap what he calls a discriminatory federal marriage law, even as his administration has angered gay rights activists by defending it. Now, they're saying they have no choice. Justice Department has to defend existing law.
But they basically said was, if you bring a case, essentially we'll make a crap argument that the Supreme Court will shoot down and show the unconstitutionality and the lack of necessity of this law. So it's firing a shot across the bow of people who want to, you know, send cases up that defend, you know, DOMA.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going, okay, you can do it, and we legally have to defend it, but we're not going to bring our A game, as it were. And it will leave a lot of holes and a lot of openings for this to be overturned completely. So that keeps the opposition, the people who want DOMA to stay in action, that keeps them kind of back while you can start dismantling it. And I think that's a smart move. It's, again, it just takes so much time. Everybody, you got to remember the amount of damage done by the Bush administration and then the Republicans during the last few years of Clinton, where they basically neutered him with that ridiculous sex scandal, that you've got, you know, 12 years essentially of Republican crap, this Gordian knot that they have to unravel.
Yep.
And we like this idea that we could somehow come up with a sword and just cut it in half and that will solve it, but it doesn't work that way. And if you do it, it can be turned back on like a light switch when the next administration comes in, if it does go the other direction. So he's really trying to do some lasting change, and I think just in case 2010 doesn't go our way, I think it's important that he spends this year really making the change, mm-hmm. really making it
so,
last.
Hal, let me get your take, too, on the, you know, on the other, obviously, Prop 8 out here. There's obviously some disarray. Two California gay groups have split on whether, you know, they when to go back
sure.
to the polls.
2010 or 2012, yeah. right. Yeah. I did the kiss-in on Saturday. Which is a good time. I was surprised that Gene Simmons wasn't there because it seemed like a marketing opportunity.
Yeah, well.
But I'm for both. I think you never give up on a personal freedom right. You don't say, well, I can wait 4 years. There's an element of urgency in any fight for a direct freedom, I think. One group of people being told that they cannot live as fully as another group of people is not right and deserves 24/7 kind of fight. Now, that being said, what the argument really is about marketing budget. And how you can spend your dollars to get your message across. And I think one group shooting for 2012 and one group shooting for 2010 is the best way to do it.
Mm.
I think if you've got a quality California saying we got to really make it a fight around the presidential election next time, and some of the other groups saying, you know, we've got to do it in 2010.
And there was another example of the right wing winning, I think, to some degree, based on lies. They did
yeah.
those ads that made it seem like President Obama was, you know, would vote yes on Prop 8, and he was not. You
right.
know.
Exactly.
So they made it seem like, oh, if you're going to vote for Obama, you should vote
yeah.
for this.
He basically said what I think is a lot of you know, people who are actually in the leaning category. Because, you know, in my lifetime, I've seen a huge shift emotionally on this issue and a huge shift politically and psychologically and socially where people who weren't for it because they never had a good reason to be for it or a good reason to not. So that shift has happened hugely. And I think it's happening with most people. And Obama basically saying, look, I was raised Christian, and I was raised in a very specific Christianity that believes that this is, you know, that marriage is between man and woman. That being said, it's none of my business.
Right.
You know, whatever I believe, that's not how I can govern because I'm not the head of a Christian church. I'm the head of the American people.
Right.
And the American people make up a huge swath of believers and non-believers and people in different groups, you know, and this whole crap about the Ten Commandments and that we're going to, you know, and that
right.
Leviticus is the way we live. Yeah.
I got it. Abby yeah. in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, all.
His chiffon is a mess. It's wet. He's a crumpled mess now.
Yes. Frustrating.
He has shot his load. Yes. All right, go ahead, Abby.
Not quite.
Can I have my fun fact music?
Oh, yes, please. Uh-huh.
Okay. So the population of Montana, Max Baucus' state, it's the 45th least populous state at 950,000.
Mm-hmm.
North Dakota, Kent Conrad's state, is 49th at 640,000, below Alaska. Anthony Weiner's district, who is leading the Progressive Democratic Caucus, is bigger than the population of North Dakota. It's 650,000. California has 36 million people,
mm-hmm.
and Manhattan's population alone, at more than 1.6 million, is bigger than North Dakota and Montana combined.
Wow.
So I would like to know why Kent Conrad and Max Baucus have so much power in this debate.
Yeah.
It makes no sense at all.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, this is back, you know, these kind of parsing laws were based out when, you know, a state gets two senators because it's
right.
because of the land.
Right.
Because
yeah. Well, it's like Sarah Palin was like that whole, remember, she's the governor of the biggest, in landmass.
Right, exactly.
She's the queen of all the frozen tundra.
Yeah, but you can only live in one corner of it where you're not freezing to death at all times. Yeah.
She's the governor of the biggest state. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was when it was difficult to travel over a large right. space. So
yeah.
you needed, you know, two senators to be within train distance of the two or three towns in these spaces, and now
yes.
that's not even a factor. It's absurd.
She's the queen of all the crystal meth addicts in Wasilla.
Yeah.
And therefore, okay, 42 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian Hal Sparks live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's the distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
We will rock you.
Sing it out.
We will rock you.
All right.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 47 minutes after the hour.
That was a great Adam Lambert impression.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hal Sparks says we will still rock you on health care reform, that we
Absolutely.
Will get meaningful health care reform with a public option. Mm-hmm. I choose to believe him.
Yes, well, I mean, but it will require you to go after these people who are fighting against it. The Blue Dog Democrats, at this point, the Republicans are a waste of your phone call. They're a waste of your dime.
Yes, don't bother calling Senator Schmuck Astley, yeah. as Jim calls him.
Yeah. Well, that guy's just stunning. And
did you see what he said yesterday? That he said he personally urged the president to make clear he's not wedded to a public option. He said, I told the president he needed to make public whether or not he could sign a bill that didn't have a public option in it. He didn't have to take a position against a public option, but would he sign a bill that wouldn't have a public option in it? I thought that statement would be very helpful. Who cares? Here's what the hell Chuck Grassley thinks
or wants.
I
hope Obama wasn't drinking anything hot when he spit it into Grassley's face when he said that. Mr. President, I think I know you want to listen to me, but I think you should come out against the.
Sorry about that. I spit.
Howard Fineman from Newsweek he's somewhat less hopeful than you are. He says he thinks that Obama is going to get a bill, just not one very worthy of the name. He's already started doing the analysis on what went wrong, Obama's missteps. He says, well, Republicans and their conservative and corporate allies are a big part of the explanation. Health care is 1/7 of the economy. You can't expect to rewire it easily. There's going to be losers, and they're not going to go quietly. Also, there are no moderates left in the GOP, only conservatives who want to deny Obama success or legitimacy. They'll oppose anything he proposes and call it principle. Together, big money and big mouths will say anything to scare folks. Death panels, government, abortion, socialism, you name it. That and Obama and his team share the blame for the slow but steady shriveling of his claim to be the agent of change you can believe in. And he goes, I mean, I do think he's had some missteps. Whether you're right he can recover, I hope so.
Like I said, I think there have definitely been some moments where they were blindsided by the ferocity of the attacks.
Well, he lists the missteps as murky campaign promises, bipartisan naivete, focusing on the have-nots. The White House should have focused on the fears of the 85% who have insurance, not the 15% who do not. Mm-hmm. These days, the president is calling his plan health insurance reform, but it's late in the game to reframe the issue. And then he talked about learning the wrong lesson from the Clintons, that he should have been more involved, and the real lesson should have been simplicity, because I think letting the Democrats and everybody else just fight about this in public and all these different bills, and I think it has been confusing for people.
I agree, but I think you've also, this is a contentious issue that has a lot of variables in it, and if he was trying to singularly express all the variables and satisfy all of them, I don't think it would have worked. It would have been he would have had 16 policy like public press conferences explaining 19 different ways that insurance is used and cross-government, and have to explain everything that GEICO actually stands for, Government Employee Insurance Co-op. And so, stuff like that. Like, you already use a government employee kind of based thing if you're with GEICO. I know you like the lizard, but it's true. The amount of just mathematics he would have had to do alone would have just killed the issue. I think letting everybody hash out and see who was on what side. I mean, all this has been very illuminating. We've seen.
Well, you're saying politically he has done this before, that he makes people waste their fire.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look at the stimulus package. Look at Sotomayor. Both of them went through. Both of them on a timetable equal to what he said. Probably took an extra 2 weeks to get Sotomayor's actual hearing going because of the fighting going on. But it still went through and it happened. And everybody was saying, man, the more they delay this, the more the right.
And it made the Republicans' approval rating among Hispanics shrink to within the margin of error.
Absolutely.
Literally, there could be more Hispanics that hate Republicans than are actually alive today.
Right, and with good reason, because quite frankly, these people have been hiding behind, there's a large Catholic number of and religious Hispanics who will vote conservative or whatever, without really factoring in all the other Jesus-y elements that I think Hispanics also favor, which is, caring and protecting people who have less. I
love that, Jesus-y elements.
Yes.
Jesus-y things. Stephen in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Yeah, two quick things. First, for those Blue Dogs and the Republicans who come out and say that they're opposed to a public option because of socialized medicine, I think we need to blanket their districts with letters talking about how they want to get rid of the VA. Because the only socialized
And Medicare.
And Medicare, yeah.
And Medicaid.
And if we're going to change the national debate, I think what we need to do is start changing our definition. You know, do we want health insurance, or do we want to have health care continue to be run by the death and disease profiteers?
Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly. Good way to frame it. Liz in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with the Health Parks.
Oh,
hello, Liz.
Thank you. I have a comment and a suggestion I'll try to get through mm-hmm. really fast.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just a moral issue. It's the law. In the preamble to the Constitution of the United States, it states that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All right? If 100,000 people die every year because they have no life or they have no health care, I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
and they're denied health care, basically.
Yep.
And then as far as pursuit of happiness, if you're a family and you can't afford insurance for your family, your children, whatnot, mm-hmm. I think it's hard to pursue happiness.
Right.
Absolutely.
And, you can't get to liberty unless you include being liberated of your life.
Well, yeah, but life,
yes.
When you tell them 100,000 people die every year, maybe
yep.
that will, and it's a law. I mean, the Constitution
yep.
tells
right.
us the people. But anyhow,
yep.
my suggestion real quick
mm-hmm.
is that in the forum of people, I think you saw it on the local news, all the people that were cared for 7 days that have no insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that on any international news. There were 4,000 pro-healthcare people that marched in Phoenix, Arizona. There was no coverage on the
right.
news.
Yeah, well,
call. We need to call, not just our senators and stuff, but we need to call these so-called news stations
yes.
and tell them to stop covering these, you know, right-wing, gun-carrying, radical.
Yeah, so that creates an unfair impression. Absolutely.
Well,
and while you're on the phone with CNN, tell them that they need a...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
Well, and also and also that guy carrying the AR-50 that got all that news coverage or whatever turned out to be part of a radio stunt.
Yep.
Oh,
conservative radio
funny.
Talk show host and one of his regular listeners, they said, I'm going to go down there with a gun, you bring a gun, and I'll interview you about your right to carry a gun. It was set up. It's another example of the conservative astroturfing that's been going on. There was
right.
there was no impetus where a guy went, I'm just going to bring a gun, you know, and because
right.
I want to show up. No, that
right.
was a plant as well.
By the way, Bill Clinton gave Barack Obama an insider's account of his talks with Kim Jong-il
mm-hmm.
yesterday at the White House. Senior national security officials were there. The former president's wife, Hillary Clinton, was not there due to what officials described as scheduling conflicts. I hope the president didn't mistake who's Secretary of State. Because you don't want to do that. You don't not...
Well, even as a former president, he actually doesn't really have the clearance now to sit in on a Secretary of State talking to the president. You know, and even though it's his wife,
he needs to sit at the kids' table now.
Exactly. Yeah, he's at Thanksgiving. He's over at the card table. Yeah, eating noodles. Because that's, you know.
Oh, dear. Would like to
helping Bush refill his balloon. You can't figure out which end to blow in.
We need to, you need to take out your organ for me, Chris. We need to say goodbye to Robert, as I call him, Ralph Novak.
Uh-huh.
Yes, thank you.
No, that was good.
Thank you. I always call him Ralph for some reason, but Robert
mm-hmm.
Novak
yes.
Has passed away, the Prince of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
What? Okay.
Yes.
And
this is true.
And this is, that's all we'll say.
Right,
okay.
Exactly.
Jack in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome, Stephanie. Thank you.
No need to welcome me. I'm always here.
That's true.
Gotcha.
All right.
You made a couple of comments about a letter that Tom Hartman sent to the president in regards to access to Medicare. Nice idea, but there's two problems or two issues that will come up. First of all, Medicare is actually run through private insurance, but the government oversees it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still some issues you'll have to deal with from that side. But also, reimbursement to the physician level is getting less and less, especially for Medicare Part D. So physicians probably are not going to be very favorable on that particular plan. But again,
there's ways around all of those things. But you know what? It's almost time for Tom Hartman shows in many of these fine markets. So ask him because he'll have better answers.
Absolutely.
But also, it wasn't my letter. It was his letter.
Right. But also, yes, that's why the bill is larger. That's kind of the case I was making earlier. Is you can't just, you know, wide open, loosely make Medicare available. It will take a broader series of work. It will take a lot more to do.
But it already exists. The structure is there and people understand
and
it.
And you do want to create
create a much more sound public option for everyone. So that's going to take some pages, kids, and a lot of reading. So
House
do it.
Sparks for President. HouseSparks.com. Find out how. We will see you. I will be live from New York City tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. See you then.